Welcome to Photography Insights, the show that goes behind the scenes and interviews people from the photography world. Today, I'm bringing you a special podcast all about artists once again. I've got a few of these planned with a few people, so I managed to bring this one forward for you. And it features our good friends Pete Static Age and Stephen Rendell, aka Fez Photography. Both are very good friends of mine, very intelligent guys who appreciate different genres of photography. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about these very different characters. And what I've also done is talk about one who's influencing me. So yeah, I hope you like this one. We're going to discuss about things like shooting with intent, capturing ideas, shooting versus thinking, skateboarding and music, timing and being at the right place, commitment to process, and we're going to talk about hero worship, styling, contrast, fabrics and things like this later on in the show. So I hope you enjoy this one. Please do sit back and relax. Of course, I'd like to thank the ongoing support of the friends of the show, which is Peter Static Age, Steve at Chrome Camera and David at Film Dev. All these links are in the show notes and on the website. But without further ado, let's play the music. Let's await our guests, Pete and Stephen. And welcome to this special one-off edition. I have with us today Pete and Fez.
All right, mate.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
That was such a professional intro. Did you like that, you two?
Yeah, it was lovely.
They've both been on the show in the past, as everyone knows. But today we're talking about some of our either favourite artists or photographs. So what I'm going to do is just quickly go through someone who's inspired me. I thought it'd be important to share with everyone because of who he is, what he does, and there's true meaning behind his work. So he's been on the show in the past. I really thought hard about this because, you know, after 100 whatever shows I'm on, 119 or something, that's a lot of artists, but Quinn Jacobson was one of the standout guys, not just because he's a legend in collodion wet plate photography, but because of what he's been doing. So I've shared with Fez and Peter a photo I've snipped of his, and I'll put it on for the rest of you. Now, what he was doing was talking about things like the Indian massacres in the United States of America. What he's done is travelled around a bit and been to some of these plains and reserves. For instance, the photo you're going to see, he collected a pin out of one of the old railway lines, and he's changed this using his blacksmith skills into a knife. And it's quite interesting, this approach. And to me, it tells you a lot about of what he's trying to do. There's this historical process of the massacres that happened to these people, documenting things that happened. Now, the other side of this is that he's actually used historic processes, and the reason he was saying is because he wanted the process to match the time period, which is very unusual, I think, in photography. Because if you think now, some of us are still using film cameras, so in 2020, in theory, shouldn't we just use in mobile phones, for instance, or only mirrorless cameras? So I thought it was a nice twist. And then another good point about Quinn is his photography is all about intent, and that It has to have a purpose. I find this deeply troubling for someone who's probably just taken photos so far. And I think to get to a point where you're only taking a photo because of an intent, I think that's probably what an artist is. But who am I to question such logic? Now, he is an interesting guy. He started off serving his country and then moved into combat photography. But he's been teaching and doing this clothing process now for a long time, for many decades. He's probably one of the guys who's at top of the industry. He's done books on this and he's got his own show on YouTube, which is still live now. I think it's every Saturdays. So I hope you check him out at least and check out a little bit about clothing, because I think it's a really, really interesting process. So what do you think, guys?
I if I can jump in very quickly, I think I think it's really important that we have photographers like this. The like yourself, the idea of only taking a picture with intent scares the crap out of me. Because I don't take a lot of pictures as it is, and if I had to have an intent behind every single one, I think I'd take even less. But these processes are very, very quickly starting to disappear. I know there's a resurgence in film. It's finding a renewed vigor with a younger generation now. They're really kind of liking the organic nature of the process and the way that it looks. But the wet play amongst other sort of older processes are being forgotten about. Large format cameras and all of those associated processes I can't name many, and I think without people that will go back to our roots and our history, then they kind of become lost arts. That's something that we should try and avoid, obviously. And I'd love to experiment with it, but as far as I'm aware, it's quite a costly process. And there's no room for mistakes either, which is kind of the thing about digital photography that appeals to me most, is I can screw up and I'm not wasting money because I just delete the file, whereas you can't do that with when you've invested that much money in chemicals and materials.
Yeah. Well, I think the few differences there, Steve, is because wet plate obviously has to be done there and then, because it's wet, means you need an on-site type dark room. So your location thing is going to have to be heavily thought out about. But no, it's not especially expensive as such. There are far more expensive things, and Quinn will even say it's cheaper than shooting digitally in one sense, because you don't need many chemicals. It uses minute amounts of chemicals to make, but I think it's a weird technique as well, because obviously it involves UV light, which we can't see. So how do you take a photo of something you can't see?
I think we do anyway, don't we? Like, any picture we take is a foundation for the work that we create. It's not very often that we really share an image straight out of camera, unless we make a point of sharing it straight out of camera. We are photographing an idea rather than exactly what is in front of us. We might have an idea when we take the picture of what we're going to do to manipulate and process, but we never just leave as is. Because although we're not artists in the sense that you were talking about previously, we are still artists, and we still have a creative vision when we pressure shutter. So I think, okay, yeah, UV light, you can't see it, and you are photographing something that you can't see and can't predict in a way. But we do that in every press for sure, because we're trying to capture an idea more than we're trying to record what's in front of us.
Yeah, I agree.
I also think, though, with stuff like large format, wet plate, you are thinking about the process more than just standing there and shooting. So you're more aware of these factors, and you probably, you set a shot up, which might take you longer to set it up than it would to take the actual picture, because you want it to be a certain way, because that's the only way you can shoot it. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. Do you think it would be good for, say, everyone to either see it or try it in that sense, then, Pete?
I don't think everyone needs to try it. It's as if you want to try it or not, It's something I'd like to try, but I know I could do it, but I'm too busy doing other stuff, But I'm sure one day if I can find that time where I get that, or really, I mean, I'd love to try like large format, but unless someone's going to lend us a camera and all the other bits, because I might suck at it so badly, there's no, I'm not going to spend a load of money on it. But I think, not everyone wants to try even digital, who shoots film, or the other way around. And, not everyone's that interested. A lot of people, let's face it, with photography, they're just taking pictures of like the family, and that's it, really. They're not really trying to do anything other than that. So I'd say a lot of people, even who are shooting film now that I've met, a lot of them are basically trying to be like a certain photographer, and they're not really bothered about other photographers who are doing other work, it just usually comes through time. But even then, a lot of them aren't bothered, they just say, "Oh, that's a nice picture," and they don't really care how it was made, A lot of people I know who've seen, say, like a lot of large format stuff, because when it's printed up massive, they just think it's, because it's so amazingly clear, they just think it's shot in digital anyway. They don't, because a lot of the time people don't care about the process. They just like to see a nice photograph. And if that's in a gallery, in a book or a magazine, if it's a nice photograph, they don't care how it's been taken. Whereas it's only real nerds like myself who would be like, "Oh, I wonder what lens he used. I wonder what film stock he used." And,
No, it's a good point. Yeah, good point. I suppose most of us are like that in that sense. There's no need to expand upon more than just taking a snap or a picture. But I think those of us that are trying to be more artistic, which definitely includes both you two, have got this in their head somewhere.
You see, with my photographs, I just take what I don't really, I never really think about what I'm going to take. If I just see it, I'll just take a photo of it. I don't really, I'm just sometimes really shit at doing it. It's just, but in my head, it's, "Oh, that's going to look amazing." You get it back, and you're like, "Oh, God." But it should just like be fun about what you do. You should never take yourself too seriously. Like, even all the greats are always a bit like,
I don't know
just
if you know.
enjoy what you're doing. Stop trying to be this, just because you've got a fucking 2 grand lens doesn't mean you're going to take a good photograph. Just, you could do it on a 10 quid camera you got from Oxfam. It's, if it's a good photograph, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, what we're going to do is let Pete talk about
How am I going to follow that? Some dude who's got some real intention, and I'm going to go look at one of my favorite photographs.
is a bin on a back street in Newcastle.
Well, there is that, but no, it's like Glennie Friedman. He's like one of my favorite photographers, and the photograph he took for the Beastie Boys album, "Check Your Head," is just probably one of my favorite all-time photos, which is maybe slightly random, but when the time it came out and the age I was at, it was just everything to me that, I don't know, because of the music I was into, because of like being into skateboarding, it kind of combined the two, and it was just, to me, it's still one of the coolest covers I've ever seen. And the way he shoots, it's totally different to your choice. You know what I mean? Like, there's, it's just, he was just there at the right time and the right place, and he knew the right people, and it's just simple photography, and that's what I like about his stuff. He always considers, I guess, the light, and if it's in focus, that's one thing he always goes on about. But just, a good image just is a good image to me, and I think it just captures a period of just one of the best records ever released. I know not everyone will agree with us, but for me, that's what I like in photography, just stuff which just defines a like a moment, really, more than anything. And especially for me, time in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's everything as well, mate. I think, you know, like Quinn and the historical stuff is very different. You're only going to meet one in a million people like him, I think.
Yeah.
There are very few, but obviously it's something I've concentrated on because of this whole podcast sort of thing. Because you search out for these special individuals, but everybody, all these people that you're talking about are all fantastic photographers, and let's not forget that.
I think what you were saying about how it brought the music and the skateboarding together, and it kind of epitomizes that time of your life, speaks to the testament of photography, that you can associate such an emotive response to a single image. That's something I think we all strive for, is, you know, if you can have one image in your entire career that somebody looks back on and goes, do you know what, that just epitomizes everything I was living at that time, then it doesn't matter if the rest of your career was shit, because like, you've got that one thing, and it's something that I think we all strive for. You know, there is a power to imagery that we cling to. We are visual people, and all people, regardless of whether you're a photographer or an artist, we're visual. We can have these emotional responses to images, and they can conjure memories and smells and emotions, and it has a tremendous power. Because I've never heard of the photographer before, but I know the album cover.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that as an iconic album cover. Mm. So I kind of get.
Well, it's like you would have seen his work everywhere. Well, maybe not, but you know, like he did all like the early rap stuff with Run DMC. He did all like the hardcore stuff with Minor Threat, Fugazi.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? Again, that was such a part of my life. And when I was young, you didn't know who did it. You didn't really care who took the pictures.
No.
But it wasn't until later on when you kind of get more interested in photography, and that's who you kind of, you know, that's who I used to emulate when I was a kid. You know, but you know, your mates' bands are never going to be as good, and the photos are always going to be dog shit. But because you're growing up and you're trying to do the same thing. But yeah, it is. It's just everything just has if you've got a good memory about, or a bad memory, it always triggers something, really. Mm. So, but yeah, it's totally different to what you were saying. But you know, yeah, that to me is like one of the best photographs, which a lot of people go, shut up, man, you haven't got a clue. But one of my favorite photographs of all time, you know. And yes, I love, like, I guess classic photographers like Henry Wessel and stuff like that. But I also love, like, you know, like a lot of them has come from skateboarding, with like Ed Templeman, Ray Barbie, Joe Brook, Grant Britton, whose stuff is absolutely incredible as well. You know, it just depends what you grew up with and what kind of influenced you. But you can see that I didn't know any about all the other photographers like Kristen Berry and things like that until I'd known about these other photographers that I knew, like Jason Lee and Ed Templeton. You know, I didn't know really until, you know, you hear things like, whoa, who are they, and what, you know, and you start looking at other stuff. But it just depends. A lot of people will just stop there, but then if you're more interested, you'll keep going and find out more. But then you just go down the pit of shit. How big's my book collection? It's
one of the pictures you shared on the chat that we were having earlier was one of the page covers of the books you've got is Gregory Crewsden.
Oh God, it's
absolutely fantastic. Like, yeah. We regularly show my students when we're talking about narrative in photography.
Yeah,
like, because every single image is like just a pause in a film.
Yeah.
It could be anything, and you cannot help but read into that image. Like, I think he's an absolutely fantastic photographer. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, see, I'd never heard of him, and I was in London with my wife, and I was like, oh, I want to go to the photographer, the gallery. And they had an exhibition on by him. Like, I think maybe it was the whole place. But I remember we were just walking around, and I'm one of these people, I got wrong in the Vatican for swearing, because, you know, everyone's standing there looking at stuff, and I'm, you know, looking at some amazing artwork going, fucking hell, look at that. You know what I mean? Because it's you know, it's blowing your mind, this thing. And we were just walking around looking at these pictures going, shit, they're fucking good. And everyone else is, you know, stroking their chin being, oh, I'm so fucking arty. And there was one image and it was a van and it had pine cones on it, like on top of the thing. And some, probably some woman in the nutty, like standing there, beautiful photograph. My wife comes up by and she went, looks like Chod's on a bonnet. And I went, like, you know, and it's like that thing where you could see some other people go, oh my God, he's just said it has poo in there. He's just like, but like, you know, photography, especially that should be fun as well, you know? And I mean, but his work is just, but I always love his work even more just because of that moment. And it just makes us think, I'd never own one of his prints. So a few of his books is quite nice.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you see them, they're just, you wouldn't, at first, I didn't realize that they were shot on film at first because they were so fucking perfect. And then I watched a few documentaries about how he did them.
Yeah.
And it was this amazing film set. And it took about 10 hours for one photograph. And you're just like, wow, that's just total commitment. You know,
yeah, it was just a hell of a process.
Yeah. But, and he'll take maybe one and that's it. Like, you know, and you're just like, wow. You're really confident on that one, aren't you? He took the dark slide out on that one. But, yeah, I mean, his work's just, it's just a different, for me, it's like a different level of what people can do with it, really. It's just, yeah, it's something that I know I would never be able to recreate if I wanted to.
Well, I don't think you should either.
No, but, like, you know, let's face it, everyone does black and white photography of someone walking down the street with a tab and, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's just, that's it, your bread and butter street photography type stuff. Or I know me and Andy, we love taking pictures of bins and skips and, you know what I mean, mattresses in someone's garden and stuff like that, you know. But I don't know, there's just certain photographers that just have something other people just never will or never get, you know.
No, that's interesting. Okay, who else you got on the list?
Alex South.
Alex South, yeah.
Gee, like, his stuff is just, it's kind of like when I look at some of the stuff I've done in the past, it's like he's just kind of looked at mine and went, that's really shit. This is how you should do it. And you just, it's just, again, because of the different formats he uses, it's just everything just draws you in. And it's just, to me, it's just like perfect photography. It's just, it doesn't matter if it's a person or, again, a mattress in a lake. It's just so beautifully positioned and thought of. It's just incredible. And I only really knew about him a few years ago, you know. And so, yeah, I don't mind. I'm not one of these people who says, oh, I've known about him since, you know, before his first record came out, you know what I mean, on that demo. So, but, like, it's just amazing. His work's just, and that book is one of the nicest books I think I've ever, I think it was given for, like, last, whenever it came out, you know, it was bought for us, and it's just like, wow, they're one of the nicest books I own, and it's not an expensive book as such, so it's just nice to own stuff that you can look at, because, let's face it, looking on the internet's dog shit, isn't it? You know, it's there 1 second, and you're whoosh, scrolling through it and not caring, and it's, you know, tiny on your screen, so, yeah. They're probably my favourite, some of my favourite photographers, and you know, other than Grand Britain, but I promised I wouldn't show any of that stuff because I always go on about them. So
we're allowed to talk about Grant now that I'm friends with him as well.
Oh, well, he's not my friend. I've never spoken to him.
Yeah, Grant's obviously, you know, one of the top dogs for skate photography. And I think for someone who's not been in the industry like yourself or being at the forefront of it and got involved, you can still recognize his work because everybody knew who Tony Hawk's was.
So it's funny because that's the reason I got into photography was to take skate pictures back when I'm down at the local skate park. That's the whole reason I bought a camera. That was before I got into to portraits and fashion. It was all about like taking pictures of me and my mate skateboarding. Well, my mate skateboarding and me blading. But then I just progressed onto something else because I just didn't have that that lifestyle after a while, mainly because I was shit at skating. But
there's nothing wrong with being shit at skating, especially in your 40s.
Yeah. But it's funny because last year, March last year, when the lockdown started, I bought myself a skateboard again. And I was just out the front of my house on a skateboard trying to relearn how to ollie. And I'd see all like the neighbors' kids coming out and like staring at me going like, what's that old man doing? Like, why is he on a skateboard? I'm not that into the photographers behind the scene, but there's a massive like punk vibe a lot of the time to skate photography that I kind of relate to. I really find the raw energy of skate photography really appealing because it's not pretentious. It's just,
yeah,
here's a picture of somebody skating, and if you're a skater, you'll appreciate the art in it. If you don't, you'll just like a nice picture.
Yeah,
and thing is, like, skate's not about stuff, is it?
It shouldn't be, but
buying stuff, owning stuff. It was never about that, was it?
I don't know. It wasn't about that. It tends to become about the labels and you know, what deck are you skateboarding on?
Well, I think it goes through so many different phases, and I think now a lot of people, especially like, run their own companies, so it is back to that old DIY thing. You know what I mean? I mean, even Tony Hawk still runs his own company. You know, and he has for years, and he does what he wants. And, you know, people like that who are always pushing skateboarding, regardless of their fame and everything else, all he's wanting to do is just to make skateboarding pure of what it is. He doesn't, you know, care about, he does the other stuff because he knows he can get people to listen to him, really.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the same with, like, the way kind of, I guess, punk and hardcore and, you know, any kind of music photography, it all starts with someone doing it in someone's basement where they're playing a gig, you know, and it's only if that band become big, usually the photographer will end up going along that journey with them, because that's kind of what happens, and then they get other people, and I guess that's just part of the process, you know. Not everyone's going to make it.
Is that all of them, Pete?
I think that's all of my exciting choices, I'm afraid.
Henry West. So I think we'd better move on to Mr. Rendell before we just talk about the gutter. So who are we going to start with? We're going to start with Mr. Bailey, do you think?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, Bailey is probably the biggest influence on me as a photographer. As I've progressed, I've kind of become more and more commercial in the way that I try and shoot. I like my images to be pristine and clean. I'm a big fan of contrast, and when I was doing my studies at college, I spent a lot of time absorbing a lot of his work. I wrote essays on him and did a lot of research into his photographs and stuff, and spent a lot of time watching documentaries and stuff, and I kind of ended up falling in love with his personality. I don't know if either of you have ever seen him in front of a camera.
No.
Like, there are many, many interviews on YouTube, and I do honestly recommend watching maybe one or two, because he's got such a powerful personality that anybody that tries to interview him just doesn't have a chance. Like, he will just shut them down and take control, and he'll spin it around, and he'll ignore any question, and he'll talk about whatever the fuck he wants to, and he'll say whatever he wants, and he just doesn't care. And it's like, he's from the East End, and he's still, even now, I mean, obviously he's more arrogant because he's David Bailey, but he has this power and this personality that just consumes. And his work epitomizes the 60s. You know, he's got these massively high contrast black and white images of icons, absolute icons that, although we weren't around in the 60s, we've grown up seeing. And he, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, his work spanned kind of like an entire generation. And I don't know, I just became obsessed with how clean it was, but at the same time, how raw the images were, because there was nothing else in an image other than the subject. So there was almost in there's like there becomes an intimate connection with this celebrity that you're never ever going to meet. You're never ever going to meet them, but you kind of have a connection with them just by looking at a photograph of them. And I don't know, I kind of, it's something I've always strived to achieve, that level of intimacy in a portrait, in a single frame, being able to connect the viewer to the subject in that way. And I love his work, but I'll never, you know, like we've said, I'm never ever going to equate to the power that he had, because it was before the photography had really become anything like it is today. Now, you know, there's millions of pictures being taken every single day, and he was at the forefront of photography in his era, and now everything's been done before, and it's very difficult to be original. So the chances of me ever hitting that kind of power in my images is next to none. But he's somebody that kind of, I suppose, I have a bit of hero worship. And I've said to Crystal before, I have this fear. There's like this vague recollection of a moment in my life where I met somebody and I remember telling them I was a photographer. We had this big, long conversation. And I was a proper arrogant idiot because I was like 20 and I acted like I knew it all. And then when I was doing my research on him, I'm like, I know that guy. I'm like, I'm sure I've met this bloke. And I'm like, my brain just went, yeah, you have. Like, you've met this guy and you were a dick. And you acted like you knew, like, everything. And he just was, like, stood there nodding, going, yeah. And I, part of me, I mean, the chances of it actually of happening are probably very remote. But there's, like, this little insecurity in the back of my head whenever I see his face. I'm like, shit. I tried to talk to David Bailey about photography without realizing, and just came across like a complete and utter arsehole. And I think probably part of that is my reason for the hero worship. Yeah, sorry, I went on. I kind of gushed a little bit then. You can see I'm very passionate about his work.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see his work that wasn't published, you know, because everything you see is perfect. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. But I'd love to see the stuff which he wouldn't think is perfect, because I imagine there'll be a lot of shots where you might, you know, if someone's not paying attention, looking to the side, or, you know, that might, I don't know, just, it'd be interesting to see all of his offcuts and, you know, just, I think, because I've never really seen any of that stuff. I've only just seen these perfect images. I guess it's the same with a lot of photographers, you know, but yeah, his work, I mean, obviously he's incredible. So,
I love the high contrast fashion there. It's so clean. It's simple, isn't it? White, black, but it just looks stunning.
And see, this is where I kind of think I contrast to you guys. Is you guys are very raw and you're happy to experiment and just take pictures for the sake of it, whereas I'm a much more controlling personality, and I like I'm a little bit meticulous, and I have to plan things, and I have to sculpt an idea, I'm a little bit anally retentive when it comes to my photography, which is probably why I haven't taken a lot of images recently, because I've just not been able to control things in a way that I like. And I think one of my biggest issues as a photographer is the fact that I am like, I have to control. So I can't let go and relax and just think, do you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to take pictures. Because it has to have an output. It has to have, I have to, like, I don't know, I imagine it being blown up at like 8 foot by 6 foot big. Like, that's always what I'm aiming for, is these massive, grand, perfect images. I mean, unfortunately, I'm just not at a point where I can do that. Like, as an artist, I severely lack where my ambitions are.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that, though, because I think an artist often likes the whole process. I know a lot of the people I've interviewed now have all said the same, that it's from, you know, the original story and idea creating it, what tools are going to use, how they present it, how they're going to edit it, and what format it's going to end up in. They love all that. So I see you as that sort of person. Like you say, I think me and Peter are very raw with our photography. Doesn't mean that we can't do things when we need to.
Oh, not
but it's just not all the time, is it?
No, I don't think that is. I think what I meant by that was you're just a bit more free spirited with it, and do it for the enjoyment of the process. Whereas I tend to have to be a little bit more controlling.
I think for me, it depends what camera I'm using as well. If I'm just going to walk around, I just don't give a shit. If I see something that looks vaguely cool, I'm going to take a picture or two of it. Whereas if I'm going to, right, tonight I've got to take a picture of him or a band or something, I know where I'm going to go. I know, right, well, I want to do it, you know, and you have to really think about what I'm going to do. But most of the time it is just, even when I'm there, I'll still be taking pictures where maybe I shouldn't be doing. I don't know. I just, you know, I probably wasted a lot of rolls, but sometimes you just get it back and you're like, oh shit, they're really good. You know, you didn't intend to do it, or the ones you intended to do just look terrible and you use the other ones. And I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to be in control of stuff. I think it's just, you know, if you're not going out, say, walking around, just shooting, then you're not good, because if you've got a different process to how you take images, that's just not the way you work, you know. But that's probably why, you know, once you do, your images will probably look incredible, you know what I mean? It's like, because you've thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've seen a lot of Steve's work, and the, you know, they do look good, and you can see he's put the time and effort. I mean, Steve's doing YouTube as well, so he did a storyboard before I met the model, didn't you, that last time?
Yeah.
And for me, that's amazing, because you've already got the idea. So the shoot should be easy because you've already got your idea. Whereas I've worked the other way around, you get there, get the model, and then you come up with an idea, and sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're not.
I think in those situations, you kind of work on the relationship. And this is one of the things about, like, portraits and fashion is you forge a relationship with somebody in a very, like, 2-3 hours. You've never met them before. They'll turn up, you'll introduce yourself, and then you spend all of that time trying to get them to know them as quickly as possible to make them relax in front of the camera. And that's probably one of the reasons why I focus on it, is because I enjoy breaking down those boundaries and getting to know people. Like, I could sit and talk all day. Like, give me a stranger to talk to. Once I get past that initial sort of anxiety of having to talk to a stranger, I will just have a conversation for hours. And it's having a captive audience, really, because they can't get away from me. I think that's part of the enjoyment.
But then on that side, I love doing that. I love talking. You know, I'll talk to anyone. But I also like the fact of just taking photographs of people you're not going to speak to. You know, capture them when they're so, like, not vulnerable, because that sounds dodgy. You know, when they're just so unaware of where they're just so natural. You know, and it just depends what you're looking for, really. You know what I mean? Like, just those natural pictures to me, just, I guess, like some of the photographers I love, it's exactly how they would normally portray that and do that. But when you're doing a proper portrait, you do need to get to know that person or talk to them, so they relax and you get that personality. Because a lot of the time you'll see some people's work and you look at them and you're like, do you even know the name? Because it looks like the person's looking at the camera thinking, hurry the fuck up, take this picture so I can go home, you know? So, but on portraits, I just never feel I do them justice enough, because I know the people who can do them better.
That's fair enough. I mean, everyone's different, aren't they? I mean, my portrait projects has obviously been put on hold because it involved going into people's houses and taking their portraits. And Steve was one of the early ones that was in this. And this was a good example of when I was shooting Steve, we took a few, and then I say there was 5 or 6 that were okay in the end, given to him. I said, which do you think's the best? And the most sharp and in focus and perfect shot was not the one we chose.
No.
And it was the one where he was relaxing because Crystal, his missus, was making him laugh and he was looking at her and I got the shot. And to me, that's what Steve was. That's his character. So, you know, I was really proud of having that. That's fair enough. Right, come on, Steve. Who else we got? You've got.
I don't know.
Annie, obviously.
I mean, I've got lists.
Lindsay Adler's stuff, mate. That was lovely.
Yeah, it is. It is really, really nice. But it's kind of that whole pixel perfect precision. You know, everything is polished and refined, and it's not. It doesn't kind of relate to reality, because it has that commercial aspect, and commercial like photography doesn't really link to reality particularly well because it's so heavily photoshopped. But it is me as a photographer. That is what I strive for, is that pixel perfect image. But Lindsay Adler, her work is so creative, from the sets that she uses, the color, the styling, like everything has been considered and calculated. She'll use color contrast, she'll contrast sharp edges to smooth, soft fabric. Everything has a reason and a purpose for being in the frame. And that's what I like, is it's really, really nice. Some of those images, the red one.
Oh, the red.
She's got the
big hat,
glow of light, and all those gold lines coming off of the model's head. It kind of has that communist feel to it. I don't know whether you kind of got that vibe from it.
Yeah.
It's very heavily like communist. I did make a note of how that kind of links to other arts and my interest in constructivism. The sort of Russian art movement or Eastern European art movement from the 40s. There was Alexander Rodchenko. I don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
Okay. What about Shepard Fairey? You know, the Obey movement and the So he, like, Shepard was influenced very heavily by the constructivist movement, and they have all of that sort of color contrast, sharp lines, and stuff like that. It linked very closely to that, and I found that really interesting because unless you'd had that interest, you wouldn't have. You kind of just don't. It's like the Obey movement. You don't think about where that artist has been influenced by. You just absorb it and go, do you know what? That's really powerful, and I like that.
No, it's absolute stunning work. I know when I was looking at it, I was like, this has to be product photography in essence, like high beauty magazine sort of stuff, because like you say, it's unrealistic to have unblemished skin, the whitened up things. But to me, it's artistic.
It's very artistic. The image I put in where it's a bit like Ophelia, where the woman's laid in all of the flowers.
The flower's lovely.
That was shot specifically for Canon because she's an ambassador for Canon. So that was shot specifically, I think it was when the 5D Mark IV first came out, and that was to show the you know what the camera was capable of. And I remember seeing it in all of the photography magazines. I think it was in the RPS Journal, it was in Digital Camera World, and all over the place. But it's just pretty. Like, that's the thing. It's pretty, and that's why I like it.
I think though she's still got some nice black and white though. Clever use of shadows and light.
Hard light sources.
Yeah, very hard. Yeah, I mean, just like covering the eye and that, it's fabulous. Yeah, really impressive stuff. And again, it's someone very different. It's completely different to David Bailey. But it's a different world to what me and Pete have talked about, so that's good. Do you want to put any more in, tonight? Or
no, because I've talked long enough. I kind of just go around in circles saying the same thing, so I'm cool. And I'm also very aware that, yeah, it's close to 10. Well, somebody I would like to talk about is Sean Tucker, because I've written an article. You probably read my article, Andrew, about the, like, his street photography. Pete, do you know Sean Tucker? Have you heard of him?
I've heard of him because I've seen on YouTube, but I'll be honest, I'd probably turn it over. He seems like an all right dude, you know what I mean? I've seen some of his work and his work's nice, but it wasn't something that I got excited about.
His videos are a little bit like some of them are a bit arty and a bit pretentious. I will admit that.
Like, I don't mind arty and pretentious, but I find YouTube as a whole, I watch it even though I hate 99% of it, because a lot of the time it's like, hi, look at me, I'm fucking great, look how much money I've got. Shut up, you know what I mean? It's like, but I'll still watch it, you know.
I was gonna say, don't subscribe then, like, if that's not what you want to see, don't subscribe.
No, but I find it funny because you'll get someone who's been on YouTube for like 6 months and then they're doing a Q&A on how to be a better photographer, and yeah, you're like, oh, fuck off, like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, just shut up. Just, you know, if you want to be a better photographer, just take better pictures. Like, you know,
take more pictures.
Yeah.
Take more. Take more shit ones. Take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shit pictures, and then you will eventually figure out how to stop taking shit pictures.
But it's like, you know, you want to be a better photographer? Not. Have a Mamiya 7. Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not going to make you a better photographer. It just means you've got really rich parents.
I should probably send mine back then.
Oh, you can just send it to me then if you want. I wouldn't bring one. You said you're not using it. What are you? You know,
I do know Sean Tucker. He's mates with John Hughes, another really good street photographer I know.
I just like, I think it's the contrast. I am a proper drawn to really high contrast images.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a power in contrast that it just directs the eye so easily. You don't have to worry about anything else. If it's high contrast enough, it'll just pull the eye, and it doesn't matter whether the rest of the image is shit, like, because it just pulls the eye to a specific point. But it's extremely well composed. It's very high contrast because he always exposes purely for the highlights. And like you said, you know, John will go out all weathers, whereas I don't think I've seen a very soft image from Sean. He likes his high contrast, so it's got to be bright. You know, it's got to be bright. There's got to be harsh shadows. But there's something about the intensity of his black and white images that I really, really like. And I, you know, go and check him out and let us know your thoughts on the comments in the podcast. So
I think he's exceptionally talented because I think he can explain stuff simply. Mm. And I think he's made it quite clear how easy it is to do shots and about timing of the day and looking for shadows and spaces and stuff. And I think he's actually quite a humble guy, to be honest.
I was going to say, from what I've seen of him, it's not about ego, which is what a lot of other YouTubers are like. And some I watch it. You know, like I say, I can't stand watching them, but I watch it because I find it entertaining almost, just to see how much they can just pull their own shit up. Whereas with him, he didn't seem like he's doing it to be anyone. He's just quite happy being himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, he's, but yeah, I mean, if I thought he was a bit of a dick, I would have said, you know what I mean? But
I think it's been really good to talk about really different people. Cause like,
it's different to David's, isn't it? Cause he's like, he'll have sat there for 4 weeks reading about what he wanted to say and writing it all down. Grammar perfect, whereas I just can't do that.
I think you're right, though. I think David and Tobias are very different people, and I think they've got this other side of photography that I know I haven't got. They've got this massive love history and know everyone. You could just talk about a name, like, yeah, I know their body of work and stuff, and it's like,
but wow. let's be honest, you can say any old shit, can't you, without backing it up?
Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah. No, but I think some of it's experience, and you've all been in photography quite a long time compared to me. So
it just depends on what you like and where you've come from for photography.
Yeah.
Not everyone likes the same photographer, you know.
Nah.
There's some photographers I'm only finding out about now, and they're like, what, you've never heard of them? As if I'm fucking stupid for not, but it's like, sorry, just you haven't heard some of the stuff I like, but it doesn't mean I'm going to judge you for it. It's just,
yeah,
you know, it's just like music, isn't it? You know what I mean? Not everyone's into the same music.
Yeah.
Nah, I agree. I think that's the biggest thing, that it depends whether you want to listen and learn about new people. I mean, that book I was showing you earlier, right? So this is the woman that I'm going to be interviewing. So, well, you see, this is more like Quinn. It's more purposeful because it's about slavery. So she's talking about when it started and how it got finished, and there's legislation in there. So it's really different. Thanks a lot for coming on, guys. It was really nice to hear about these artists. I'll certainly check them out.
I hope it wasn't too shit. Nice to meet you as well, dude. And yes, I still say dude, and I'm 43.
It's all right, we'll forgive you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I've actually really enjoyed it. I know I've waffled a little bit, and probably the rum hasn't helped, but I did enjoy it, and it was very nice to meet you, Pete. Anyway, we really should wrap up, so
yeah. All right, take care, everyone.
Yeah. Pete. Thanks a lot, guys. You take care.
See you, man.